Good morning and welcome to Monday morning, March the 25th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we begin Year Beep, and this is Holy Week. And during Holy Week, there's actually a whole liturgy for every day of Holy Week. So we've got plenty of passages to choose from day after day this week. So on the Monday, we like to take a look at the Old Testament passage. And so today's Old Testament passage is actually Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people, and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people, a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. This is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. This is the word of God for us. All right, so Isaiah 42 is one that comes up quite often during these high holy weeks of the church's calendar year. There's a chance it came up during Epiphany, and it always seems to come up during Holy Week. And so we are here, and we see that these words, although they may have been attributed or spoken over a different person in Isaiah's hearing and reading, we certainly apply them to Jesus as we think about his suffering, atoning death on the cross, and then his glorious resurrection and vindication from God. I think one of the things I always think about when I think about this passage is a very dear friend of mine who passed away this year, Dr. Hank. He did his research for his PhD on pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. And as a South African, because he got a great grant, he was able to go all over South Africa and study how different churches that were more Pentecostal leading, like how they would conduct worship, how they would apply the pursuit of spiritual gifts and things like that. And one of the things that he marveled on is whenever it came to a passage like this, there's like all these things that, you know, God says will happen whenever God's chosen ones, whenever his message goes out. So if we go to a place like verse 6 and following, go to verse 6b, it says, I will keep you and I will make you to be a covenant for the people, a light for the Gentiles. And then verse 7, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And what Dr. Hank marveled at over and over is how in some communities that he was in, there would be some lines that were taken literally, and then some that were taken figuratively. So he perhaps would be in a community that wanted to pray for people to be healed of their diseases. They would read that first line of verse 7, to open eyes that are blind, literally, like they would pray for blind eyes to be open. But when we talk about to free captives from prison, they would say that's more of like the metaphorical prison of our souls being in prison because of sin. So they didn't really have a jail ministry, but they would say, though, this is a metaphor for a personal salvation for somebody, right? And the follow-up line, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. So then he would go to a different place, and maybe this Christian community was geared more towards social justice. Keep in mind, he was in South Africa. This is at the time of apartheid and some of the struggles that were going on there. And he and his wife were deeply involved in the apartheid movements, anti-apartheid movements. And he would go to these different communities, and they would say, actually, we read, you know, to open the eyes that are blind, figuratively. They'd say, you know, we walk around with like damaged ideologies that prevent us from seeing God's truth and the call for justice in the world. So they would read that figuratively, but then they would read to free captives from prison quite literally, like, because they knew people who were unjustly imprisoned. And so they were working hard with lawyers and with legal nonprofits to try to advocate for those who were put into prison incorrectly and see them released from the literal dungeons because they were sitting in darkness and their lives were ruined because of it, right? And so this is just something that he marveled at, that you give the people the scriptures and you put them together and they worship Jesus and they begin to interpret them as they would deem them necessary for their call of ministry, right? Like their hermeneutics, or this is a study of interpretation, would change from congregation to congregation. And this all sits under the auspice of Jesus and his resurrection. We go back to verse 1 of our passage this morning in Isaiah 42. It says, "Here's my servant in whom I delight, my chosen one whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he'll bring justice to the nations." And so there's a sense that we should expect this, that when the call of the gospel goes from place to place, congregation after congregation, person after person, all over the earth, that there are these many formed expressions of Jesus and what he is doing in the earth. And so I just hope that during this Easter week, as we begin it and we take our steps towards the cross, the empty tomb, that we would not get so particular about our expression of Christianity, but we would marvel at the many expressions of Christianity. Some scholars even say that there are many Christianities, right? Like there's not one that can be unified. So there's many expressions. All people calling upon Jesus, that's how they're unified. They experience the presence of Jesus in the center of their community. But we're so different. So instead of like blowing the whistle and throwing the flag because we're the authority on all things, right? We should just marvel. We should say, as long as they lift high the name of Jesus, as long as they embrace orthodoxy, we should expect, since this is a worldwide family movement, we should expect so many different expressions of Christianity. So instead of getting bogged down with the anxiety about how this congregation needs to change to fit our needs and wants and desires, we can say, you know what, in a mystery, as long as they call upon the one Jesus, and as long as they embrace orthodoxy and the orthopraxy of the church, let's just marvel in all the things that God is doing and therefore take great delight about all the things which God is doing during this Easter Holy Week. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we marvel in the great idea and hope that Jesus is your servant, the one who not only has a spirit upon him during his ministry, but now gives a spirit to his body of Christ today. And we thank you that it means that there are many expressions, many different wonders in the earth that testify to Jesus' name and for his sake. And so God, this day, we confess to you that we can get very partial to the things that we like the most. And we can get critical about the body of Christ, and we can bring it into great suspicion if it doesn't look or express itself like us. And so we ask for your forgiveness. We repent of our ways. We choose to change our minds this Easter week. And instead of claiming that we need to have our own needs met and to see our ways begin to be more present in the earth, we think that you can do your own thing. It's your church, it's your people, it's your mission. And so we thank you that you've called us into it. And therefore, we celebrate all that you're doing in the earth and all of its diversity. We just simply pray that this week, as we all celebrate Easter in different parts of the world this week, that you would draw people to yourself so that other people can marvel at your grace and can know the salvation and forgiveness that we've come to know in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.